Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is that time. Your favorite hour of your day is now underway. Live here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. We've got a great hour of sports talk that will be coming right to your ear on today's current sports. I want to ask an interesting question that concerns Michigan fans in relation to this weekend's Michigan State and Ohio State game, all right? Because there's an interesting scenario that I believe Michigan fans, it puts them in a conundrum, if you will. All right, so stay tuned for that question. Also, Le'Veon Bell continues to hold out. He feels as though he deserves more money than what the Pittsburgh Steelers offered him if he wants to get that little over $14 million that will be owed to him courtesy of the franchise tag. He will have to show up, at least I believe, by next Tuesday. So we'll address the latest happenings when it comes to Le'Veon Bell, because he voiced his displeasure on social media in a really creative way this week. All right, we'll get to that. Also, we'll discuss the Detroit Lions, who are underdogs on the road, deservingly so, against the Chicago Bears, and it is Thursday. And as you know, each and every Thursday, we educate you all with some sports history. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? A very busy Throwback Thursday that will be coming your way on the back end of the show. And I may get to this whole Floyd Mayweather Jr. story as well. I may have some brief comments on that. When it looked like Floyd was going to return to the fight game, taking on a Japanese kickboxing phenom in Tenshin Nasukawa, and that has now been called off. You know, there was a press conference and happening and everything, and Floyd went on his social media and said it's not going to happen. And we'll bring you details of that story and so much more in just a moment, courtesy of our current sports quick hit headliners, which is next. While we get to that, I want you all to weigh in if you would like to join us here on the show. Get anything off of your chest in the sports world, you can do that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in on social media. You can tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And again, the live stream up at Facebook.com/WKAR News. I'll try my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. But here you go. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, November 8th. And we brought this story to you all as it broke, actually, right before our show. I didn't get a chance to address it or bring the details to you all until, like, the back end of the show, like, minutes left. But as many of you know by now, former Michigan State football player Austin Robertson has accepted a plea deal stemming from a rape allegation last year. Robertson did plead guilty to criminal sexual conduct, assault with intent to commit sexual penetration, during a pretrial hearing in Ingham County Circuit Court in Lansing yesterday. Now, in exchange, two charges of third-degree criminal sexual conduct are scheduled to be dropped when he will be sentenced on December 5th. Judge Clinton Kennedy III indicated via a Cobbs agreement with the recommended sentence will be 43 months in prison, and Robertson will be credited with about 7 months of time already served. So there you have that. Austin Robertson, former MSU football player, pleading guilty to criminal sexual conduct, assault with intent to commit sexual penetration. That occurred during a pretrial hearing in Ingham County Circuit Court here in Lansing yesterday. All right, the Michigan State volleyball team snapped a 7-match skid with a convincing 3-1 dub over visiting Ohio State. The Spartans had played 5 consecutive teams that were in the AVCA top 25, and despite consistent improvement, hadn't been rewarded with a victory. The resilience shown by the squad was awarded yesterday in spades as it set a new season high in blocks, 18 blocks for Michigan State, while players established or tied several career bests. But congratulations to Kathy George's team. Again, Michigan State over Ohio State 3-1, your final yesterday. And Michigan State's baseball staff will host a number of upcoming camps and clinics throughout the winter. 3 separate advanced hitting clinics will be held on Saturday, December 1st, from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Sunday, December 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Saturday, December 8th, from 9:30 in the morning to 1:30 p.m. The second annual winter youth camp for ages 6 to 13 years old will take place on Sunday, January 6th of next year. The Pro Scout Development Camp, which will be held on Sunday, January 20th of 2019, will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information on that, just simply visit MSU, the website for MSU Athletics, and you can get information there if you would like to sign your little one up. That's very cool stuff, though. And my Detroit Pistons ended up getting out of the doghouse last night. To tell us more about that, we have live in studio current sports reporter and production assistant Justin Frommer. Welcome to the show, Justin. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. I'm good. Long week, but it's good to be back on the airwaves. And mentioning the Pistons snapping that 5-game losing streak, that 4-game winning streak to open up the season seems months ago, considering how well they've been playing. But they beat the Magic 103-96 last night. Big games for Andre Drummond, who scored 23, Blake Griffin 20, and Reggie Jackson 15. Evan Fournier, 27 for the Magic, and former Piston DJ Augustine had 16 for Orlando. How about those jerseys the Magic were wearing last night, too, throwing it back to the Shaq and Penny Hardaway days.
Exactly. And shout out to Penny Hardaway, who is now the head coach at Memphis now. That's really cool stuff. Wishing him the best there.
And then again, Pistons looking to make it 2 in a row now. They'll travel to Hotlanta, take on the Hawks on Saturday night.
Yeah, and also shout out to Andre Drummond. He was really the player of the game for the Pistons last night. 23 points. I also believe he had 19 rebounds, just shy of another 20-20 game for Andre Drummond. And just before the end of the first quarter, Andre Drummond did bank in a 3-pointer. So how about that? Andre Drummond showing off that that long ball as well. And I was also impressed with Stanley Johnson was able to do last night, arguably the best game of the young season for him. All right, the Detroit Lions have owned the Chicago Bears in recent years, winning 9 of the past 10 matchups, but Sunday's game currently has a different expectation around the league. Detroit is a 7-point underdog on the road at Chicago this week per Bovada out in Las Vegas. The over-under for points is 45. The Lions will look to snap a 2-game losing streak against one of the best defenses in the NFL, led by Khalil Mack and Kyle Fuller. Fuller has 4 INTs in the last 4 games. Kickoff set for 1 p.m. I don't see any way how the Lions will pull that one off. All right. and some news concerning Amir Abdullah. We brought to you the news earlier this week that Amir Abdullah was waived by the Detroit Lions. And Justin, he has found a new home. Where is that?
Staying in the NFC North with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
So I see this as a pretty interesting move in terms of perspective with the division, because he's not going to take carries away from Dalvin Cook or Latavius Murray. He may provide something in the special teams game, but I see this as the Vikings have two more games against the Bears, I believe. They played the Packers once, and they have one more against the Lions. And having a guy like Amir Abdullah, especially for the Lions, who knows their system, that can help maybe take them over the edge against some of those divisional games.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're just looking for a solid backup, just in case some injuries happen with that backfield that you just mentioned. I think this is more of a security acquisition for them, if anything.
And it was the right move for Detroit to get rid of Abdullah. He never made it in with the Lions. He had that fumbling issue, only carried the ball 327 times for about 1,200 yards and six touchdowns over 35 games. Mm-hmm. So it was the right move for him to move on and find a new home. And he may not provide a huge contribution considering what's in the backfield in Minnesota, but like I said, he also provides insight with those other NFC North teams.
Yeah, without a doubt. And wishing Amir the best. But again, you know, looking at the situation when it comes to the running back position for the Honolulu Blue, I mean, you got Kenny Galladay, who's tearing it up right now. Kerryon Johnson. Also, when you look at Theo Riddick, who's now, he needs to step up in light of the absence of Golden Tate. It just didn't have a fit there. Didn't have a fit. Also, I didn't know you could do this on Twitter. Tweet upside down. That's what Le'Veon Bell did, though. The drama between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell continues. The latest news coming from a cryptic tweet. Le'Veon Bell said goodbye to Miami on Monday, but still has not reported to the Steelers organization. Bell posted a tweet upside down. How do you do that? Alec Rio, behind the glass, you're kind of like one of our social media experts here at Current Sports. How do you tweet upside down? Is there like an app for that? How does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, it's definitely something out of Twitter that you have to do that, because I've seen people tweet like that
Why
before.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know.
This ain't Stranger Things,
I think he
man.
Was just trying to be fake deep and with whatever he was trying to accomplish with that. But, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. He just wants
his
money.
I get it. I'm going to briefly, and I mean briefly, address Le'Veon and this whole upside down tweet thing. I'm just fascinated because I had no idea that you can tweet upside down. And I'm here on Twitter. I don't think there's like a, you can't click on anything that says tweet upside down. Why would you even want to do that in the first place? But anyway, this is what Le'Veon Bell said via Twitter during his upside down Twitter rant. Again, it's like, you know, hieroglyphics trying to read this. Quote, just about everybody has an opinion on my life and worried about what I'm doing. Don't judge me off my decisions, because maybe this isn't what you do. But most people don't take the time to simply read between the lines, and that's certainly on them. I'm not going to apologize for what I believe is right for myself, family, and the rest of my peers, period. Also, if you are really finding the time to figure out what I'm saying, you've proven my point. What does that mean? Do you have any idea what that means, Alec? If you've taken the time to figure out what I'm saying, you've proven my point. If you've taken the time to read my tweet,
that's where he lost me. That's where he lost me, because you're saying people need to read between the lines. But
yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
You got me there, Le'Veon. Interesting cat, man. Under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, Bell must sign the franchise tender or sign a one-year deal with the team ahead of the Tuesday deadline in order to retain his eligibility for this season. Thursday Night Football. This should be an incredibly entertaining game tonight. I will be glued to my television, Justin. Who is playing? And speaking of Steelers, right?
All right. This is probably one of the best Thursday night games you're going to have this season, with Carolina Panthers traveling to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both these teams are surging at the moment. You got the Steelers on a 4-game win streak. Panthers are on a 3-game win streak. Both of their offenses are really clicking, and then their defenses are playing at a high level as well. Mm-hmm. And with the Saints' big win against the Rams last week, Panthers got to keep pace with that team in that division. The NFC North is a pretty interesting division right now. I mean, you got the Saints, who are probably one of, if not the best team in the NFC, maybe in football. Mm-hmm. You have the Saints just one. I mean,
in the NFC South.
NFC South, right, correct. Right. You got the Panthers one game behind, who can easily find a wild card spot, or even, I mean, they find two wins against the Saints and win that division.
Right.
And you got the Falcons, who are starting to pick it up a bit and could find a wild card spot as well. So that division is starting to get really, really
interesting.
Absolutely.
It's fun to watch. I mean, you got the Saints right now. They look like a legit Super Bowl contender. They just added another weapon in Dez Bryant. They are on a 7-game win streak. You have the Panthers on a 3-game win streak, and you got the Falcons also on a 3-game win streak, and then of course Tampa Bay at the bottom barrel with that 3-5 record, two straight losses for them. But
can't count out Fitzmagic though.
Hey, you can't. Yeah, don't cut out Ryan Fitzmagic. But the Saints, Panthers, and Falcons playing some awesome football.
It's
going
to be hard to keep up with the Saints.
Yeah,
they got Michael Thomas, Kamara. Now they got Dez Bryant and Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I know that's going to be interesting. Be, I mean, Drew Brees has an embarrassment of riches on that offense right now.
Seriously.
All right, and Floyd Mayweather, yeah, he appears to have backed out of a planned New Year's Eve fight with Japanese kickboxing star Tenshin Nasukawa less than 3 days after he appeared at a Tokyo press conference announcing the bout, claiming he was blindsided by the promoter regarding the nature and the magnitude of the event. The five-division boxing champ said in an Instagram post yesterday that he had agreed to a 3-round exhibition, quote, purely for entertainment purposes with no intentions of being represented as an official fight card, and was, quote, completely derailed by the new direction this event was going. So basically, Floyd Mayweather looked at this fight the same way that Rocky looked at the fight against Hulk Hogan and Rocky, what was that, 4 or 3? One of those. It was purely for entertainment. But when I saw it was put out by Bleacher Report and ESPN that this was going to be a legit fight. So miscommunication there, you know, a lot of people flew in for the press conference. There was a lot of promotion going on for it. And now that will no longer be happening. And if it did happen, I would advise all fight fans out there, please don't waste your time watching it, because I don't know. Floyd Mayweather, I mean, come on now. In MMA, kickboxing, come on, dude. Just retire, Floyd. And the only other, you know, the only other reason I could, you know, come up with why Floyd is even pondering coming back to the fight game, you know, Khabib, that was also another rumored fight between him and Floyd Mayweather, is, you know, Floyd lives an extravagant lifestyle. I mean, the dude just bought a new mansion. He's got like an underground garage on top of a, you know, right below another garage. I mean, he's got like 2 or 3 mansions.
He
bought
an $18 million watch recently.
$18 million watches, right? I mean, he likes to ball. He likes to stunt. And in order to stunt, you got to have money to stunt. And Floyd, he's the highest paid athlete in the world. But how long can that kind of lifestyle last? So, you know, Floyd is always thinking about money. And that's the only logical reason I could come up with as to why he would even think about getting in the octagon against a Japanese kickboxing star. So there you have that. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I've got an interesting question I want to ask to any of our Michigan fans who listen to current sports on the daily out there. I know we have one online, one Apache, I see you. Because, you know, the way this plays out on Saturday at Spartan Stadium could bode well for the Michigan Wolverines. And, you know, I think the Wolverines fans out there may have to do something that they're not too fond of doing this coming weekend. All right? Stay tuned for that. Until then, let's keep this train moving. All right, clever. I have a clever, clever team that works alongside me here at WKAR's Current Sports because if you go, again, follow Current Sports on Twitter at WKAR_sports. If you do, you will see the latest tweet that we have up. And I don't know, I guess there's a feature where you could do this, but Jack Kerwin is also behind the glass, and he actually tweeted upside down. Jack, you are very talented, my man. I need to take some Twitter lessons from you and Le'Veon Bell. How in the world did you do this?
Sure.
It's that time of the day on today's episode of Current Sports. Hey, this is actually pretty easy to read, actually. We will talk Michigan and MSU football, the Le'Veon Bell fiasco, and preview Sunday's matchup in the NFL between the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. Tune in at Al Martin WKAR. I just read that whole thing upside down. That's crazy stuff. How'd you do that, Jack?
So I had a tweet typed out already, and then, you know, you got to Le'Veon Bell, and I realized it was a talking point for today, and I was like, crap, I should have tweeted it upside down. So I went on Google, and I just Googled how to tweet upside down,
right?
And there was a website I went to where it says, like, you know, put your text into here. So I just copied the text from the original tweet, and then it comes out upside down. So then I deleted the initial tweet, and then I could tweet upside down.
So you just copy that and didn't
paste it.
Yeah, and
then you paste it into Twitter.
Yeah. Wow. You clever Le'Veon Bell. You're very clever, Le'Veon. So there you have that. I just learned how to tweet upside down. I don't know how that's useful at all, but there you go. All right, welcome. If you're just now tuning in, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. We have now entered our debate period of the show. And, you know, we got a few topics that I really want to get to. And I want to hear from Michigan football fans out there, because depending on what happens this Saturday, you know, there's a few interesting scenarios that will put Michigan fans in a position of severe awkwardness. Well, without a doubt, because, okay, there's a few ways you can look at this. Michigan State taking on Ohio State. We all know that Michigan will play Ohio State later on this year to cap off things, and that certainly will have big implications as to who gets that ticket to Indy. The way you look at things now, though, if Michigan State was to beat Ohio State this Saturday, it is a pretty good chance that could happen, because I think that Ohio State's defense is incredibly vulnerable. Anybody can see that right now. Michigan State has a shot in this game, which is why I think that the line is only at 3.5. All right? That shows you just how close this game could be. It could go either way because of Ohio State's porous defense. If you are Michigan looking at this, I don't know how. As much as it may pain Michigan fans to do this, I don't know how you don't break out the green and white pom-poms. Because if Michigan State beats Ohio State, I think you can start making plans to head over to Lucas Oil Stadium for that Big Ten championship game against Northwestern. I think it'll be Michigan and Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game. Michigan State beating Ohio State this weekend, basically the Spartans will mow your lawn for you. That's basically what will happen. Now, I know Michigan fans, it sounds crazy, right? You may have to root for the Spartans. Can you do that? That's my big question to you all. Can Michigan fans swallow the pride and say, go green, go white? I don't know if you can. I really don't know. And on the flip side of that, if you're Michigan State, looking at this, and this is a debate I had last night with one of my fraternity brothers. You know, I know some of you have thought about this. If you're Michigan State being, you know, this rivalry is so petty. We all know that the Michigan and Michigan State, this rivalry is incredibly petty. Don't tell me you haven't thought about, all right, I could feel anybody out there who says and looks at this game, well, I'm not too mad if Michigan State does lose this game, because that doesn't automatically book that ticket for Michigan out in Indy. They would have to go out there and earn it and beat Ohio State. They would have to earn it. So I'm sure, and don't tell me you haven't thought about this, Michigan State fans. You know, Michigan State losing, to Ohio State. You may feel pretty good about that because the Wolverines aren't automatically going to be playing in that Big Ten title game. Come on, Spartan fans. I know there are some petty Spartan fans out there and have thought about that. Maybe rooting against your own team this Saturday. There's some six Spartan fans that may be doing that this Saturday. I kid you not, folks. So it's a twofold question. For Spartan fans out there, would you really be tripping if Mark D'Antonio and the team did not get the job done at Spartan Stadium this Saturday at noon? And Michigan fans, will you be rooting for Michigan State come this weekend? Oh, dilemma. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Apachu, before we get to our phone lines right now, Apachu has been waiting oh so patiently. I do want to get your thought on this, Justin. Interesting, right? Have you thought about it? Be real with me.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Because you go to Michigan State, you've thought about if Michigan State does lose this weekend, are you really tripping knowing that Michigan did not get booked automatically to go to the Big Ten title game?
I guess like the student and fan inside me would mm-hmm. say, yeah, it would be cooler, I guess, for Ohio State to win. But then again, the Rose Bowl, I mean, that's the top prize. It's not like it's going to help you get anywhere higher than that. And then the Rose Bowl, that's not even a guarantee.
It's not.
And on the flip side, for the Michigan fans, you haven't won a Big Ten championship since 2004. So if you wouldn't root for Michigan State right now, I mean, that's pretty insane, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then again, if Ohio State were to win this game, it's not the end of the world because Michigan still controls their own destiny through the Big Ten East and up into the college football playoff.
Right.
So
right.
If a fan didn't want to cheer for Michigan State in this scenario, I'd understand because all their aspirations are still ahead of them no matter the outcome of this game.
But I tell you what, if Michigan State hands Ohio State its second loss in the conference this Saturday, I don't see how Michigan isn't going to that Big Ten title game. They will be in Indy finally. And if you are a Michigan fan, you have to root for that. I don't see how you cannot root for that. You don't even know the directions how to get to Indy. And finally, you can make that happen with Michigan State, your in-state rival, handling business against the Buckeyes. Oh, that's one heck of a scenario. Apachu on line one. I know Apachu, we haven't heard from Apachu in a while, and I know Apachu, you are a Michigan fan. Will you be rooting for the green and white on Saturday?
Yeah, that's really a tough one. I don't have any trouble rooting for Michigan State when they're not playing Michigan, with the exception of certain circumstances.
Yeah.
But I know the way to Indianapolis. You take 69 interstate, you'll get there, okay? I mean, it's been a long time, but I know where it's at.
Right,
plus, I got GPS too, brother. Okay, I can't do the upside down stuff. Well, but GPS.
Can you tell Jim Harbaugh how to? Can you teach him how to use a GPS system?
They spell football at the University of Michigan BAUGH. You know, foot BAUGH. That's how ridiculous it got. But anyway,
right.
I will not cut your grass because I am going to push for Michigan State, but I will shovel your snow. Okay, because it's supposed to snow.
And that's on the way, too. I don't even think about that four-letter word.
If Michigan State beats Ohio State, we're going to be in a position, if we beat Indiana and Rutgers, of course, to play for the championship, the Big Ten. We need that, you know, because mm-hmm. we're suffocating, man. It's been a long time, and it really hurts. And I respect your program, and I keep it cool, man. You know, I ain't radioactive like Ray. I respect your program, man. It hurts. It's been hurting, and we need to stop suffocating.
And it had to feel good about you, too. I mean,
the downside of that is that Ohio State will go down in the rankings. So even if Michigan beats Ohio State, if they lose, they still got a chance for the championship. But even if they beat them, they're going to beat a team that went down in the rankings.
Right.
So it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough, but, we need a Big Ten championship, man. We need to be in a position to say, yeah, we took a baby step forward, you know. So that's why I will show you snow. But don't give out my number now because I don't want nobody really calling me.
No, we won't do that. That's all confidential about you, all right?
the other thing I want to say is, you know what, I think that Penn State quarterback is pretty great when he's healthy, but he can't touch Lewerke. Lewerke is a complete package when he's healthy.
okay, when he's healthy.
And I think we had a little luck on our side when we played you guys, the weather and the Lewerke. In comparison to that rookie coming up, he's going to have his day. But in the future, Lewerke's going to be in the NFL, I think. I think he's going to be a great quarterback.
So you still got faith in Brian Lewerke. Okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for him. But anyway, I'm just hoping that things work out in Indianapolis. I'm hoping to get there, but I ain't looking past Indiana. Indiana's a scary team, and when you're underdog, man, you got nothing to lose, you know. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to say on the bullying thing. Let me get on the bully pulpit thing about Michigan being bullies and all that. I think the one thing that Michigan lacked, especially when they played Michigan State, was being physically tough and nasty. And I've always envied the Michigan State coach because he had his boys ready to be physical and nasty. And I think Harbaugh finally realized how to coach in the Big Ten against Ohio State and Michigan State. You got to be physical. You got to be nasty. And it can be interpreted as bullying, but I think that's a necessary element. But anyway, hey, you guys, enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too, Apache.
Hey, I don't give out my number now because I know you know my number. But
I do. I will not do that. It's staying in the phone book. All right? We're not going to do that.
Goodbye.
Always good hearing from Apache. And yeah, you know, to his last point there about the Michigan Wolverines, I mean, and you know, looking at what happened pregame and, you know, Chase Winovich and his words after. Yeah, I get it. Because, look, I'm a diehard. I kind of compare it to, you know, the Detroit Pistons of the late 80s. I mean, they were nasty. They were willing to get physical with you. They talked trash. They played the mental game with you. And it gave them a mental edge. And maybe that's what's happening with the Michigan Wolverines. When you got a guy like Chase Winovich who's not afraid to back his team, who's not afraid to talk some trash, who's not afraid to walk with that kind of swag, maybe it has you know, trickled down to this Michigan Wolverines team and help them out this season. I'm not saying that's the sole reason, but, you know, for some teams and for some players out there, that amps them up and gets them ready. Who knows? Bottom line, though, this Michigan Wolverines team is playing some good football. That defense looks for real. Shea Patterson is playing well and seems to be getting better week after week. Caron Higdon on the ground. This Michigan football team is pretty good. And the road to Indy will get a heck of a lot easier if Michigan State does, in fact, beat the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I'm not saying that, you know, Michigan is looking forward here. They do have Indiana coming up and then, you know, Purdue. But, you know, excuse me, they have Indiana coming up and then they have Ohio State. Again, the season finale there. Michigan right now, this is a team that, again, holds the keys to the car. And it's going to be interesting what happens. I'm just saying this. I want to make this point. Spartan fans out there who are looking at this game, I just will find it hard to believe that there aren't many of you who are saying to yourself, all right, if Michigan State does lose, good, because Michigan is not automatically going to Indy. I'm sure there's a lot of fans saying that are rocking the green and white right now this week. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I do want to have some brief dialogue when it comes to Le'Veon Bell and his whole situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very brief dialogue there, but also the Detroit Lions as they look to possibly upset the Chicago Bears on the road this Sunday. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Right, welcome back to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Just finished up talking about this weekend's game between Michigan State and Ohio State. And I asked an interesting question whether or not Michigan fans can find it in their heart to root for Michigan State. Because if so, and the Spartans end up beating Ohio State, Michigan has a clear path to Indy for the Big Ten championship game. It's a tough thing to do because we all know the in-state rivalry between the Spartans and the Wolverines is real. But I'm just looking at it realistically here. I mean, that's if you're a Wolverines fan, I don't see how you can look at this game and not say go green, go white. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. When it comes to the weather for this weekend's game, it does not look great. It's going to be cold. It's going to be like an old-school battle in some really cold conditions. It may rain, may get some snow.
I'm
weekend?
Not excited for it nonetheless.
Yeah, Alec, you'll be out there on the field.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure I have some good gloves for that.
Yeah, I know you're not looking forward to that, Alec. I mean that's...
I'm excited to see the action, but just the weather. Oh, the weather is what I'm not looking forward to. It's just winter in general. I'm just not excited about.
Yeah, it's really cold right now. We're supposed to be getting snow tomorrow. Yeah, that four-letter word. Rain and snow mix. That's fun.
Especially with our cars.
Yeah, exactly, right? We drive coupes, man, and that's not good. But there's a 40% chance of rain right now in the morning on Saturday, and then that dwindles as the day moves along. There's like a 10% chance by kickoff, but it will be cold. Cloudy and cold, 33 degrees, and Brian Lewerke will be starting for Michigan State. He will be the starter. Mark D'Antonio, as we've been talking about all week, he doubled down on that during Tuesday's press conference, and I think that the leash will be short. Because I think to an extent, Mark D'Antonio has to be logical here. You know, you play a team like Ohio State where you have the potential to put up a lot of points against that Buckeyes defense, and if you have Brian Lewerke out there not hitting guys in stride, not making simple throws, I don't know how you can keep playing him throughout that game. You got to yank him. And as we saw against Maryland, I don't think Rocky Lombardi is not the kind of guy who can just come off the bench and just give you instant production. He's got to get warmed up. It was unfair for Michigan State to expect him to just come in at, you know, against Maryland and start throwing on target like he did much of the time against Purdue the week prior to. So if you're going to make that quarterback change, make it early. And then, you know, Apache, I was a bit surprised to hear Apache say that, you know, he's got the back of Brian Lewerke. He thinks Brian Lewerke is going to be an NFL-type quarterback because so many college football fans, specifically Spartan fans, have been very down, and deservedly so, down on Brian Lewerke due to his play or lack thereof this season. I don't know how long he's had this injury, and I think that maybe when the season is said and done, like I've stated, I think we will get the E2 Hollywood story that Brian Lewerke may have been hurt maybe week two, maybe week three, who knows? But I refuse to believe that he just got that injury, you know, the week of the Michigan game where he didn't practice Monday through Thursday. And then after that game, that's when it came out that Brian did have that right shoulder injury. I think he's been injured. And again, I'm just throwing something at the wall and hoping that it sticks here. I think that Brian Lewerke has been injured early in the season, and he's been dealing with this for a while. So we'll see what happens. The possibilities are endless come this Saturday. The possibilities for the Detroit Lions of making the playoffs, we pretty much know how that's going to pan out, though. The Lions taking on the Chicago Bears this weekend. It will be a 1 p.m. kickoff in Chicago against a Bears team that seems legit. I want to ask this question real quick here. Alec Rio behind the glass, Justin Frommer still in studio here. Are the Bears for real? Justin, how do you answer that question? Because I think what I've seen this season from Mitchell Trubisky and this Chicago Bears offense, I think this is a pretty solid team.
In the scope of the NFC, I'm going to say no, they're not for real, but they are for real in the NFC North in a smaller scope because of just how bad that this division is. Mm. I mean, the Vikings were supposed to run away with it. I still don't know what the Vikings are really, and that Bears defense is what could keep them in the running and could propel them into the playoffs. But in the scope of a championship team, no, I don't think the Bears are for real.
As far as a playoff contender,
yes, just because again of how bad the NFC North is, that they could find a way into the playoffs.
I think we all agree there's no way in heck that the Chicago Bears are going to be, you know, Super Bowl contenders. But I think they can make the playoffs in this NFC North division, as you just mentioned. And they're playing some pretty solid football.
Yeah, they're just not on the level of an L.A. Rams or the New Orleans Saints.
No, not many teams are, to be exact. Alec, in regards to the Chicago Bears being legit playoff contenders, are you buying that?
Yeah, going off of what Justin was saying, in the scope of the NFC North, it's an even playing field, but the Bears overall have the best team in the North. And when you have players like Khalil Mack on the defense, like it's their defense alone against the Bills, they had, I believe it was a pick six. They had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And their special teams is crazy, too, with when it comes to like blocking kicks. And when you got Tariq Cohen... And he's undersized, but he is so good at just moving the ball down the field. And then you got another running back in Jordan Howard, who's also been doing well. And Mitch Trubisky, he's young, but he's still got so much potential, I believe, in him. And it's just I believe the defense alone can carry them farther than most people think.
I tell you what, when it comes to the Detroit Lions, I'm curious to get reaction on Monday from Detroit Lions fans. I can pretty much predict it, though. I don't think the Lions are going to win this game. Right now, the opening line is Bears by 4. And, you know, for what it's worth, both the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions, when it comes to the record, their record against the spread, they're both 5-3. And for the Bears, the addition of Khalil Mack was huge. I mean, he's one of those game-changing type players that when you add him to your roster, automatically he makes you a lot better, and we've already seen the impact that that he has had. And now he does have an ankle injury. I want to note that as well. But you know, Khalil Mack is that kind of a defensive freak and that kind of an athlete that won't bother him too much, I don't think. Also, wide receiver Allen Robinson does have a groin injury. He did go through practice on Wednesday, I'm seeing here, after missing the past two games. And also, Adam Shaheen could also return from a preseason foot injury. He's a tight end for the Bears. But I'm curious about the reaction from Lions fans on Monday because, you know, I just don't understand how Lions fans every single week, if you know, especially going through this stretch of football that they've gone through thus far. I mean, you know, the loss to the Minnesota Vikings and everybody's up in arms. And, you know, I just kind of sit there and laugh sometimes and I say, what did you expect? I mean, this Lions team has some issues. This Lions team has a defense that can't stop anyone. That secondary, very questionable. This is a Lions team that is again, having offensive line problems. So even though you may have a great running back in Kerryon Johnson, you gotta open up some holes for him. You know, he ranks actually third right now among NFL rookies with 503 yards. But you gotta open holes for him. And we saw that not happen whatsoever against the Minnesota Vikings this past Sunday. Matthew Stafford got sacked 10 times. 10 times. That's a franchise record for the Vikings. Unreal. That stuff can't happen. And I'm not letting Matthew Stafford off the hook here either. Matthew Stafford has not lived up to expectations this season as well. Now, you look at Matthew Stafford and the Lions are paying him all this money. You basically said that this is your guy. And I think Matthew Stafford is a solid quarterback. I've been one of those guys who have defended Matthew Stafford, because I'm looking at the entire picture here, and he hasn't had an offensive line throughout much of his career with the Detroit Lions. He hasn't had any kind of run game, just now getting that with the addition of Kerryon Johnson. So you kind of got to cut him some slack. But at the same time, I look at some of the throws that Matthew Stafford has made this year, and I'm sitting there saying, what were you looking at? So Matthew Stafford has to play better moving forward as well. But let's keep it all the way 100 here. This is a Detroit Lions team that right now is not a playoff contending team. Just not. So Lions fans, you know, it kills me every time I go on social media during and after a Detroit Lions loss, and it's like the world has just ended. Where are your expectations right now? You know, I just laugh at that because on Monday, Lions fans are cursing and throwing everything out the window. Oh, my goodness, they had a chance in this game. No, you didn't. This is a Detroit Lions team that is still figuring things out under a first-year head coach in Matt Patricia. Sure, a lot of talent on this squad. I'm impressed offensively still, even without Golden Tate. I'm impressed offensively with what this Detroit Lions team has. You know, Marvin Jones Jr., Kenny Golladay, you know, again, Kerryon Johnson. This team has weapons on it, but it's more than that. And this Detroit Lions defense just is not getting the job done, along with the offense, not being able to protect the backfield whatsoever. So I want to hear from Lions fans, and I want to know, what are your expectations for this team right now? Because if you think that the Lions are going to come out and beat the Chicago Bears this weekend, you are sadly mistaken. And the whining that I hear on Mondays, it's just like, dude, I mean, get real. Are you kidding me? The NFC North pitcher, you know, just brief thoughts before we hit this final break here. Alec and Justin, how do you think when this season is said and done, which team is going to be? I just want you to rank these teams from 1 to 4. Give me your rankings from 1 to 4 when the season is said and done. What will the NFC pitcher, NFC North pitcher, look like, Justin?
I'm going to go with Vikings 1, Bears 2. I'm going to say Lions 3 and Packers 4.
Really? You think the Lions are going to have a better record than Green Bay at the end of the season, though?
I do, just because I'm looking at the Lions' schedule right now. I think their next 4 games, you got at the Bears, home against Panthers, home against the Bears, and home against the Rams. Mm-hmm. Those are a pretty tough 4 games.
It's a gauntlet.
Exactly. But I also think those 2 home games, Panthers and Bears, and maybe this road game against the Bears, I personally don't think they're going to win, but it's a winnable game.
It is. It is a winnable game. But the Bears are the better team. Bears are definitely the better team here.
Absolutely. The reason I have the Packers in 4th is just I think that offense is really just in shambles right now.
Aaron Rodgers still not healthy, right?
Not healthy. It just seems like every throw he's making, he has to do something special to complete it. Just it doesn't seem like their offense is flowing the way that it has in years past. And that's also because of maybe the talent that's here. When Randall Cobb is your number 2 and Devonta Adams has been awesome this year. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. But other than that, you got Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb. I mean, that's not really a good supporting cast.
But with that being said, this thing about the Green Bay Packers, and especially when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, they are going to be competitive.
Absolutely.
They only lost to the LA Rams, who I think are going to win the Super Bowl this year. They only lost to the Rams by 2 points. They were competitive at least early against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. They play the Dolphins this weekend, then they play the Seahawks. Those are 2 winnable games there. Then you play the Vikings. That's going to be interesting. Then the Cardinals. So, I don't know. I think for me, so did you get the full rankings there? You said that the Packers are going to finish below the Lions. They'll be the 4th team in the NFC North.
And then I may be maybe just predicting here, and this may be, a wild prediction, but who knows how much longer that the Packers are going to trot Aaron Rodgers out there. Once they're out of playoff contention and everyone knows he's not healthy, what is going to be the reason for him to still be playing?
Right. Same thing with Matthew Stafford, too, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. What are your rankings looking like right now, Alec?
Okay, so I think the Bears are going to take the first spot in the North. The Vikings will come next. And then I think the Lions – or no, the what was it?
Packers.
Green Bay Packers will come in 3rd, and then Lions will be 4th.
Okay.
Just because, like, the Lions, just how hard their schedule is. It's just, I don't think they're going to win the next 4 games.
Month of November is really tough for them.
Yeah, and
it really is.
The game against Miami was very telling of that, because they just couldn't get the offensive production done at all. They couldn't get anything done. The O-line, all the problems boil back to the O-line, because I'm going to shout out your old running back, DeMarco Murray, but when he was on the Cowboys, he had a great O-line to work with, and he had a breakout year. He was just doing amazing, you know, pre-Zeke era, but as soon as he went to the Titans, no production was done because the O-line wasn't nearly as good as the Cowboys' O-line.
Right.
And
I hear you.
Yeah, the Detroit's O-line isn't going to get the job done, even with a good running back like Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, and I'm going, it's a two-team horse race in the NFC North. We all know it's going to come down to the Bears or the Vikings right now. And I'm going with the Vikings to finish out number one in the NFC North, then the Bears, then I'm going Packers, then I'm going to going Lions. I think the Lions are going to finish dead last in the NFC North. I just don't see a pulse on this team right now. So prove me wrong, Honolulu Blue. I'm hoping that you do. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I see Ray from Indiana on line one. I'm curious to get, and I already know what the answer will probably be with Ray, the notorious Michigan hater here on WKAR's Current Sports. We'll come back and I'll explain. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Ray from Indiana, the notorious University of Michigan hater, has now called in. And Ray, you called in at an ideal time right now. We led our show. Not sure if you heard, but I asked a question whether or not Michigan fans could root ever this weekend for Michigan State. Because if Michigan State does beat Ohio State, well, the Wolverines basically booked their ticket to Indy in the Big Ten championship game. What do you think about that, Ray? What do you think about that?
Go Rutgers! Beat the boys in Ann Arbor this week, tomorrow, or Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday. Right, right. That's highly unlikely that's going to happen.
We're only 40-point underdogs.
Yeah, exactly. But do you think Michigan fans could ever root for
faith.
Ray, do you think Michigan State fans, Michigan fans could ever root for Sparty this weekend against Ohio State?
Well, if you think about it, if Ohio State gets knocked off by Michigan State, which is a good chance unless they start playing a lot better football.
Michigan goes to the championship game.
That's going to be that's going to knock Ohio State down in the rankings big time before they even play.
Mm-hmm.
So they might get left out if Alabama happens to slip up just by a little bit by Georgia
and
or somebody.
That's where I was going next. You stole my next point, because even if it's twofold here, right? Because if Michigan State does beat Ohio State and Michigan ends up beating Ohio State, a team that will fall in the rankings, and they go and win the Big Ten championship, and if Georgia, who is going to win that other side of the SEC, right, and will take away Alabama, if Georgia somehow beats Alabama,
right,
I don't see how you leave out Georgia.
No.
I just don't. And if that happens, the Big Ten champ winner will be left out. So
look at Notre Dame, sir. Since they beat Michigan, they've had five or six close calls. They almost got beat by Northwestern this last week.
Yeah. So if you're Michigan, the other side to this as well is, okay, we want Ohio State to win, which will also be tough if you're a Michigan fan to root for, right? I mean, these are your two rivals. But if Ohio State does beat Michigan State, then you got an opportunity to play an Ohio State team that has some credibility behind it to end the Big Ten regular season.
Hey, think of this. What if Notre Dame goes to Syracuse, which is very possible? Syracuse are in the top 25 now, have to go to New York, and they get beat by Syracuse.
Mm.
Who are you going to leave out? Notre Dame already beat Michigan by 7, and it could have been a lot worse than that.
Yeah, that's interesting as well.
21 if they had a quarterback. They changed quarterbacks.
Right.
They're not even going to use their quarterback for this Florida State game. I'm a little bit worried about them getting by Florida State without that quarterback.
Well, I've always said, I've been saying this for weeks now, I think Notre Dame is going to finish undefeated. I'm really big on Notre Dame this year.
I don't know.
I'm not big on the competition that they play knocking them off for a huge upset. I think
Who Michigan's going to play in the championship game?
Northwestern.
Only Northwestern.
Exactly. I know. So will that be enough to get them in? We'll see. A lot of scenarios that could play out here, Ray.
I hope to see the bullies out.
I'm sure.
That's what
you
I hope
do.
To see.
I, yeah, I'm sure. All right, Ray.
I want to see their hankies out.
Yeah. Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you, man.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate your call. I do want to acknowledge this as well. In the world of the NBA last night, the Denver Nuggets, a really hot team, took on the Memphis Grizzlies. And I tuned into that because you saw two Spartans go at it. Gary Harris and Jaren Jackson Jr., both Gary and Jaren had 20 points in that game. Gary Harris's game has really evolved in the league, and he's playing on a Denver Nuggets team that's solid and will be a contender come playoff time in the NBA. But it's amazing watching, you know, two former Spartans like that, and you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., I mean, he had a few blocks in that game as well, just showing off that length that he put on display countless times during his freshman campaign here at MSU. But that was fun to watch. I don't know if you caught that last night, Alec.
I didn't, but I actually did manage to catch, Sabonis dunking on Embiid. I saw that
live.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
And NBA, I tell you what, the NBA is just fun to watch, man.
I mean, you
don't have to be a diehard NBA fan just to appreciate watching the best basketball players on planet Earth go at it on a nightly basis in the association. Incredibly entertaining stuff. But it was cool watching, again, last night, Jaren Jackson Jr. It seems like Jaren has packed on a few pounds of muscle as well and gotten bigger. But Jaren Jackson Jr. and Gary Harris going at it. Two Spartans doing their thing at the next level. And I also want to just briefly, I told you I was going to touch on this whole thing with Le'Veon Bell. Look, I get it, Le'Veon. You feel like you are worth more than what the Steelers organization is currently paying you. I get it. But this whole social media situation where, you know, Le'Veon is coming off as incredibly sensitive here. And I get it. You got people coming at you left and right criticizing your decision to stand up for what you believe is the right thing in getting paid more. But to go on social media and you're generalizing it, you know, and basically coming at quote unquote people out there criticizing you, if you're going to go at anybody, be specific with it. Go after the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Because when you generalize it, you're basically coming off as a crybaby right now. And I'm just tired of it. If anything, if you're going to address something like this, do it in a way that is professional. Because it's just becoming real petty right now, and I'm just really tired of reading about it every other day. So will Le'Veon Bell report? Who knows? If he doesn't, he's basically throwing out $14.6 million just out the window, which I will not understand for the life of me. So we'll see what happens with that whole situation. All right. Until next time, folks, we'll see you on the Friday version of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll preview that night in high school football playoffs. You don't want to miss tomorrow, folks. Until then, be easy, people.